We are going to go to another chapter, chapter 28, starting from verse 1.
And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building.
Now he says, last chapter we read, he said it was in my mind. Now he said this was in my heart, and I gather everything and I wanted to build the temple, and so everything is ready. And so he says, now we are building this temple of God, not to dwell in this temple. God is dwelling in heaven. This we are making as a footstool for the gods to dwell in. So this building, we are building for God, but God is going to live in heaven, but his name will be in this temple. Let's go and read verse 3.
But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and dost shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel.
Here again he is talking to the children of Israel and all the princes and all the leaders. God did not allow me to build the temple because I shed a lot of blood. But God is going to use my son. So he is trying to say, cooperate with my son. And my son will be able to build the house for the Lord. And so he says, all the Israeli people. Now he's saying, God has chosen me. I don't think he should be saying this because other people might be jealous. He's talking to all the 12 tribes. He said, God has chosen one tribe. That's the Judah. And I am the king of Judah. And from the tribe of Judah, God has selected me. And I have so many children. But God has chosen one son, Solomon, to be king. So it was a little bit difficult for people to understand. But he's telling the truth. Even though there are 12 tribes, first king was the tribe of Benjamin. And the second king was the tribe of Judah. After the David, all the kings came from Judah until Christ. So he's saying God has chosen the Solomon, so be cooperative with him. Verse 6.
And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day.
Again he is saying, my son, you are going to build the temple. You are going to build the sanctuary. You are going to build everything for the Lord. He even has the pattern. God gave him a pattern. You'll be learning later. God gave him everything and he wrote it down. He says, God told me to write down, or God wrote it down and gave it to him somehow. So he said, everything is done. But one thing you have to do, you have to do the commandments of God and all the judgments of God. Then only God will be with you. Verse 8.
Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever.
Again he is saying, Solomon, my son, God has chosen you. God is your father. But I lived a clean and holy life in the sight of God. If you do that, and if you understand the will of God, God knows the hearts, not only our hearts. He says he knows the thoughts of our hearts, our mind. And he even knows your imagination. Whatever you're going to do or say, God knows everything. That means there is nothing secret in the eyes of God. God knows you. God knows your name. God knows your thoughts. God knows what you're going to say. Everything what you do, you cannot do without God's grace or God's mercy. Sometimes you want to say something, but some words comes out of your mouth if God wants to use those words. God will be with you. But if you forsake the Lord, if you don't do according to the will of God, He will cast you out forever. That means you'll go to hell. Casting out from the side of God, that means you're going to go to hell. So He gave him warning not only once, almost now three times in these chapters. Verse 10.
Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it.
Now again he's saying, take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you, and you build the house and the sanctuary, and be strong and do it. He's telling once time you to start something and you get discouraged and you may not do it. But he says, now you do it because God has chosen you. Be strong and do it. Verse 11.
Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat. And the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things.
See, he said, all the pattern God has given to me, I'm giving to you, but God has given to me by the Spirit. God's Spirit inspired David to build the temple, the sanctuary, the hall, the treasury, and holy place, most holy place, and everything God told him to do it. I'm going to tell you, do this because you cannot make any changes because God has given me this pattern by the Spirit. Okay, verse 13.
Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord.
Now he said, I have chosen the priests, the Levites, to do the service of the house of the Lord, and I know what are the vessels you have to make, that you have to do it for the house of the Lord. Verse 14.
He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold by weight for every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver.
Now, he's saying, I have gold. That gold you can use for the candlestick, but he says golden lamps, the lampstands. Some of the lampstand you can make with the gold. Some of them they make a silver. Some of the tables you make with the gold. Some of the tables you will be making with the silver. But everything what he has to do is everything written down, and he has no problem just going through and making it happen. Verse 16.
And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern.
He says, first of all, he says, God gave me inspiration by the Spirit of God. And then he says, he has given me everything written pattern. So nobody can make a mistake. So he said, whatever God told him, just like God told Moses to write down the Ten Commandments, now God is telling him to write down everything. So David wrote everything from the things can be golden things, the silver things, and the cherubims, and where he used to use gold, where he should be using silver, where he should be using brass and iron and everything. And so he said, everything is written down, and all the pattern God has given to me. So you just follow the pattern. Verse 20.
And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord.
See, again he's saying, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, do this, and God will be with you until you finish this temple. Means there will be no interruption. God will be always with you because God has given me this pattern, God has given me this wisdom to do it. See how much faith he has. When God tells you to do something, it will never go wrong. God always be with you. Obstacle might come, but you will finish the job. So that's what he says. Don't worry. Be courageous. Do it. Don't be afraid. And God is going to use you to finish this temple. Until then, nothing, no obstacle will come. Verse 21.
And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandments.
He's saying priests, the Levites, all the workers, and all the princes, and everyone will listen to your commandment. Means they will not disagree. And he already encouraged those people, and he says, please go and do it. And the chapter finishes there, and this is the last chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1.
Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God.
Now here again he's saying to the people, my son Solomon, he's young. But God has chosen him. Now here he says, instead of saying house, he says he's going to build the palace for the Lord. But before that he says, for the namesake, this will be his footstool. But now he's saying, this house of God will be palace. Not only that, this will be the world famous building. Very glorious building God is going to build through my son Solomon. Verse 2.
Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance.
Earlier he said, I did it in my all troubles and trials, and tribulation time, but I kept on doing this. Now here he's saying, I did everything by my might. That means he spent all his strength to gather these things, and he was ready to build the temple. And Nathan says, go ahead and build it. And God says, Nathan, go back and tell him not to build it. And so he was a little bit discouraged, but he's saying again, all these things I have gathered together, and nothing is lacking. And he said to Solomon, if you need something more stone or something, you add it. But this is more than enough what God has given me grace to do. And he says, everything, even the marble stones are in abundance. Everything is there. Verse 3.
Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house.
Now here is saying, let me tell you, I gave all the silver and gold. He dedicated some of the things to God, but he says, I gave my own. Maybe his own silver and own gold in his house he was keeping for himself. He said, I took it from my house and I'm giving to the house of God willingly and freely. Now, why he was doing this, I was thinking, because tons of gold and tons of silvers he already gave. But he's saying, personally, I give my own silver and my own gold. Because he was thinking, even though I have tons and tons of gold and silver, still there might be something lacking. So I'm giving, So he was encouraging the congregation, all the Israeli people, all the Levites and everyone. I gave it to the Lord, now you do it. And you see, they have heard already, when the Moses was building the tabernacle, many people bought all the silver and gold and precious stones and everything, and they gave it to Moses, and Moses has to say, enough, we don't need it more, we got more than enough. The same way David is doing here, verse 4.
Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal.
Now he says gold of Ophir. This is the pure, finest gold he was keeping for himself. But he said, I'm giving you silver and I'm giving you gold and everything, you can use it for walls or whatever you want to do. Verse 5.
The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly.
See, now he said, everything I have done. So now all the people, Israeli people, the captains of hundreds and thousands, those people also dedicated their time and maybe give some silver and gold willingly. They said, offer themselves willingly. Verse 7.
And gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron.
These are the people who are the Israeli people, the soldiers, and everyone got inspiration. If David did it, we are going to do our part. God give them money, God give them houses, God give them treasure and everything. When the offering time comes, they look for somewhere the torn dollar or something, and they put the dollar, they're not even give nicely, they take the dollar and crumble it. I thought, why they do crumbling? Because they do crumbling, so they don't want anybody to know it's a dollar or $5 or what. That's why they crumbled. The David is saying, I gave willingly. I'm not telling you what to do. But when he gave, everybody started giving. And they gave abundantly and willingly. And they got enough. Verse 8.
And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy.
See, they give rejoicingly, they give willingly, they give from their heart, and they give all the offerings, and they said they rejoice, David rejoiced, and everyone was happy. Not a single person said, billions of dollars for the temple is ready and is there, and gold is there, and silver is there, and precious stones are there. But we are poor. We know how to give it to the Lord, because all other people gave. If you do that, God is not going to be beggar. God is not going to have any lacking. But we are the one going to suffer. So when we give it to the Lord, God gives us back abundantly. Okay, verse 10.
Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all.
Now he is talking in front of all the people to God. God is exalted, he is blessing God, and he is saying, Our God is the greatest God than any God. Our God is very great. Other gods are silver and gold. Our God is a great God. You are so great. You're a great God. You are in heaven. You are victorious. Your kingdom is exalted. And you are above all people. And so whatever the way he wants to glorify God, he is glorifying God in front of people and saying, Our God is greatest. Okay, verse 12.
Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all.
Now he is saying, all the riches, all the honor, all the gold and all the silver and all the power and all the majesty is belong to God, and he gives to us. Whatever is belong to God, he has given to us. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but God offered his Son. When he gave his Son, just like you have a one corn of a kernel or wheat or something, only one you have it, but if you keep it, it's not going to multiply, so you plant it. So Jesus Christ was the seed of God, and he planted. And when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, now God have millions and billions of sons and daughters to God. So God gave it to us, and he says he's multiplied. So God is so gracious. Okay, verse 13.
Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name.
We are thankful, and we want to praise your glorious name. Verse 14.
But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee.
Now he says, even they gave everything, and the children of God gave everything, he said, but this is not mine. You gave it to us. So what you gave, out of that we gave it to you back. So it's not ours. Everything is belong to God. Our houses, our cars, our children, our bank account, everything is belong to God. Because we did not bring anything, and we cannot take anything out of this. Everything is belong to God. Verse 15.
For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding.
Now here is saying, we are strangers, we are travelers, and we do not have any permanent place in this world. And we are like, our life is like a shadow. That means we have nothing. Everything is in this world is vanity. Our life is like a vapor or shadow, but our life, real life, is in heaven. We are living on this earth, but we are belong to God. We are the citizens of heaven. The word of God says, even though we live on this earth, read the verse Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. He says, we are lifted up unto heaven, and we are sitting beside Jesus Christ. We are on this earth, but see, spiritually, we are already in heaven when you are born again, child of God.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So here we are pilgrims, we are travelers, we do not have permanent place. Our life is belong to God, and we are belong to Jesus Christ, and we are living here for a temporary place or temporary time. We do not have permanent place. Some people are building their houses and spending billions of dollars, but they don't know one day they have to leave everything and go. So he's saying, you know, everything what God has given to us is belong to God. Our life is also is belong to God, and we have nothing in this world. Verse 16. 1 Chronicles 29:16.
Okay. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee.
Again he is saying, whatever I gave it to the Lord, I gave willingly. And all these people standing in front of you, they all gave everything from their heart and willingly for your work. Verse 8.
O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee.
We gave everything to the Lord. Now I want you to take control of my people's, their heart, their thoughts, and their imagination. He wants everybody completely sold out to God, their hearts, their thoughts, the imagination, everything to belong to God, and devil should not be interfering in our life. 19.
And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision.
Again he says, Lord, I prayed for my people. Now I'm praying for my son. Give my son also perfect heart to keep your commandment, keep your testament, keep your statutes, and let him do everything and build this place. That was his desire. So he said, give my son perfect heart so he can do a perfect job. Verse 20.
And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshipped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow. After that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest.
Now these people gathered together, heard the word of God. He encouraged his son, he encouraged the people, and said, Lord, let's do the sacrifice to God. And they worship the Lord, and they say, worship also David. I didn't like that, because they cannot worship man. They were worshiping in the kings. But that word is written here. But let's think, those people were worshiping God, praising God, doing the sacrifices, and thousands bullock, thousands ram, thousands lambs, and drink offering and sacrifices, and they did it abundantly. And so the people start eating and drinking in front of the Lord. And then he says, he anointed Solomon again and made him a king. So he was secretly made a king before, because one of his sons declared that he is a king, and they got so scared. So he told the prophets, go and anoint my son as a king. But now officially, in front of all the 12 tribes, he anointed his son as a king, and the priest Zadok anointed him as a priest and declared him as a king. Verse 23.
Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and all the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king.
Now see, in front of everyone, he anointed his son as a king again. And all the people, they said, okay, we are going to listen to our king. And all the princes and all the mighty men and everyone submitted themselves to the Solomon. David was our king, but now you are our king. We are going to listen to you. Verse 25.
And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel.
And here he says, God exalted Solomon. Exceedingly means there was not a single king before him. He was the greatest king ever lived in Israel. Verse 26.
Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem.
Now, he reigned 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem, total 40 years. Okay, verse 28.
And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead.
Now here he's saying, he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and the Solomon his son reigned in his stead. I was thinking, when David was 30 years old, he was king, right? After that, he says he reigned 40 years. Now, 30 years and 40 years, how many years? 70 years. But the 70 years, he said, he died in a good old age. Can you imagine? Nowadays, we are living more than 70, 80, 100, or 100 and more. But he died in a good age. You remember he said David stood in front of congregation. That means he was old man at that time, but he was hard working man. 70 years went like a vapor. He was not like a, when he's dying, not able to talk or not able to do anything. He did everything until the last minute. And that's a glorious way to go. 70 years old and he leapt. But the point I'm making, each and every person living in this world, each and every day we pass, what's happening? We're getting old, but one day closer to Jesus Christ. That's what we have to think. Every day passes, every day closest to Jesus coming, right? So we should be thankful. David didn't say, Lord, I am just 70 years old. You remember that King Hezekiah said, Lord, I don't want to die. God gave him 15 more years. But then 15 more years and he got more disasters. David would have said, Lord, I'm not building the house. My son is building the house. Let me leave. Just see the temple, right? But God took him before that. And last chapters we read is said, God said to David, David, I'm going to take you home. When you die, you're going to meet your forefathers. That means David died, he went to heaven, and he's rejoicing with his people. But we are left behind. Our life also just like a fragile bubble on this earth. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know what's going to happen to us. But we have to have some goal. David had a goal. I'm going to build the temple of God. And he could not make it. God says, your son will be making. Okay, Lord, let my son make it. So he made everything ready. He encouraged his son. He encouraged priests. He encouraged all the Levites. He encouraged all the officers and followers of him and all the guards and all the builders and everyone. He died in peace. Told his son, son, you do it. But he did not say, Lord, let me live to see the temple. Once you go to heaven, you don't see what is in the earth. That temple later on, building and all these labors and everything they did. But when they didn't listen to the Lord, God let them go to the hands of enemies in Babylon, and they went there for 70 years in exile. Somebody said, why God is allowing to build this temple if he wanted to destroy this temple and give it to the enemy and everything disaster? But God only knows the future. We don't. Solomon built it with a great honor and great glory. He never thought that anybody can destroy the temple. David never thought anybody can destroy the temple. David says, Solomon, your kingdom will be forever. We are not going to live in this world forever, but we will be living in heaven in eternity, and that should be our goal. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Many people have many problems, but Lord, you have given us grace to go through all the trials and tribulations and problems and not to sit there and cry and weep and why me, Lord, and why this happened to us, because there are all people, many people are suffering. So you are giving us grace to suffer in this world, but our suffering comparing to Jesus is nothing. So Lord Jesus, give us grace, whatever the trials and tribulation we go through, go with the joy and peace and gladness, thinking that God cares for us and he has started a good work in us and he's going to complete it. Without God, we don't have anything. But with God, we have everything. Our God is all-sufficient God. I pray for each and every church members, each and every family members. I pray that you keep them safe and healthy. We commit ourselves into a loving hand. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.